Well, I don't know about you, but I've never had a vision, not like Daniel did in the scripture reading we've just listened to. But I do dream. I had a vivid dream that I was preaching in church. And then I woke up to find out that I was. I certainly woke up the other afternoon when collecting my grandson Thomas from school. Grandad, he said, "What do you think of Jesus?" Well, of course, that's right up my street. Pilate didn't know what to make of Jesus. Are you a king? Jesus said, yes, he was, but his kingdom was not of this world. It was not the sort of kingdom of rule and power and force and might that Pilate knew. This was a kingdom outside of this world, one of love, of invitation, of consent. When I looked at the readings for this Sunday, I thought it rather strange, because mainly through the grandchildren getting excited about Christmas, my mind had been on Advent, on the little baby Jesus, the love that comes down at Christmas. And here we are being suddenly thrown again into the picture of horror, of pain and suffering and crucifixion. Not the birth of Jesus, but his death. Of course, we, not like Pilate, we have the benefit of knowing the whole story. And we have to put piece by piece of the puzzle carefully together in the right place to form the whole picture, to get the true identity of who Jesus really, really was. It's quite remarkable, this whole miracle, that it keeps narrowing down. We start with billions upon billions of years of evolution that go into the formation of this universe as we know it, to this tiny speck of planet Earth. And then we come to just a few thousand years where one or two and then a group of people begin to acknowledge God and know God and want to live within his laws and his reign. And all this then seems suddenly to narrow down again. To the birth of a person. To 33 years of life. And narrowing down again, in particular, to three significant years of ministry. And then to 3 days. The life, death, and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It becomes very personal. And by these events, this man, Jesus, changed the world. In him, all the past and the present and the future are united. I guess there aren't too many people around today that will not acknowledge and accept the fact of the historic Jesus. That here was a man who actually lived. It's recorded. And most will acknowledge, particularly those of other monotheistic faiths, that Jesus was a great moral teacher, the like of which this earth has never seen before, that he was a good man. He gave us a pattern of life, of truth and justice, as righteous government, a pattern for the whole of life, the like of which it has no equal. But that he was divine, that he was truly God at the same time as being truly man. Hey, that's the question. That's the question. You see, the holy and the religious folk who rejected him completely, that wouldn't accept him as king and king of the Jews, when questioned as to who he was, he said to them, "Hey, I existed before your Abraham. I existed before the creation of the world." He said, "I am one with the Father and one with God." And for me, it all turns on this, you see. Jesus Christ really, really knew who he was. Or he was a deceiver, a liar, or at best, deluded. Jesus is different, isn't he? He's different from all other teachers and religious founders. You see, he centered his preaching and his ideology, his philosophy, upon himself. Have we ever really grasped that fact? Jesus said, "If you want ultimate reality and truth, you will only find it in me." I am dynamite to the Jews, because he's really saying, "I am God. If you want comfort, if you want strength, if you want meaning, if you want purpose, don't look for ideologies and philosophies and examples from the prophets and the peoples of old. Come to me. You'll find it in me and me alone. I, Jesus, I am the way, the truth and the life. I, Jesus, am like a shepherd to the whole flock, not just of Israel, but to the whole of creation. I, Jesus, am the only way to eternal life." I, Jesus, am the whole truth and meaning and purpose of this universe. You see, the Christian hypothesis that an emotively motivated intellect created the whole of this universe from nothing, and then in a supernatural way came to this speck of planet Earth, lost in a corner of an unknown universe, incarnate, became like you and me, that he might lift the whole of creation to what God made it for and to what God intended it for. And you can strip away the tooth fairy and the Father Christmas tinsel and glitter of the story. You can strip away all the rosy coloured Christmas carols and poetic utterances and theology and ideology and philosophy. In the end, it comes back down to that basic fact in identifying who Jesus Christ was. I can accept no other. And for me, the fact that he was not, as it were, magically superimposed upon this earth. The fact that he came quietly and silently to an innocent little Jewish girl who knew the pain and the blood and the mess and the labour of birth that I've personally witnessed 3 times. The fact that he was born just as we are. In a cowshed. Gives a dignity and a status to humanity. And a meaning and a purpose. That here is a king whose kingdom is established by invitation, by mutual consent, by love and adoration, a wondrous attraction to be like the king. And these things are demonstrated, of course, both in the manger and on the cross and in the grave by Jesus. Miracle. Who waits? He just waits to be accepted by you and by me. Oh, there's so many conflicting voices, ideas, ideologies, and philosophies around in the 21st century. And there are all these different opinions as to who Jesus was and who he might be, the Christos, the Messiah, the King of Kings. And Jesus turned on Peter, didn't he? And he said, look, you've heard all the voices, you've got all the ideas, you've heard it all, Peter, but who do you? Who do you say I am? And that's the challenge and the question for us again this morning. I sat watching Strictly Come Dancing last night. I don't know if any of you voted for any of those who were dancing.
Don't tell them who won, Chris, because my wife would be very upset.
I don't know who won. I'm not privileged to this divine information. But I wonder, if we had to vote for the one that was most important to us, who we would acknowledge as the king, the best of all, would we vote for Jesus? That's easy in secret. If it was public, would we vote Jesus as Lord of our life? And Lord of all? And would we hold up our hand and testify to Jesus as Lord, even to an Islamic fundamentalist? That's a test. But when Jesus does become King of Kings, when he is Lord of all, when he has become personal and real and meaningful for us, then what do I think of Jesus almost becomes an absurdity. The challenge and the reality is, when Jesus is king, what does Jesus think of me?